All right, here we are with a special encore show here on WWGH 107.1 FM, just because we feel like it.
That's
right, Terry?
That's right. No, nothing really on the docket as far as anything to talk about, just kind of...
Yeah.
Kinda like doing another show.
Just to chat a little bit more with you.
It is cold.
Isn't it cold? Oh boy. Do you remember a few years back? I think do you remember the polar vortex that rolled through here a few years back?
I remember that year it got so cold. My sump pump froze.
Oh boy. Oh, that was probably probably something else.
Buddy, I had to call my buddy. You talk about a mess, man. It cracked and
it really
it was horrible.
Now, did you have any problems with rain after that?
I did.
Oh, dear.
You remember that same year, I think it was in February, there was a lot of snow. I mean, tons. We probably got, I would say, maybe over the course of, I don't know, maybe a week or two, we probably got three, you know, maybe a couple feet.
Okay.
Well, then all of a sudden it all started to thaw. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, when it did, it all melted. This water came in my basement, and I was sleeping one day, and I remember my dryer door going off, and I said, I don't have any clothes in the dryer, so I ran downstairs, and I had water up to my dryer door where it had flooded my basement.
Oh, boy.
From all that water, or all that snow melting. I called a buddy of mine to come over, because he has a plumbing business and stuff, and I called him over, and he said, you're about the 16th person on the list. He said, there's nothing you can do about it. He said, you might as well just go relax, and he said, I'll get to you when I can, you know, and I said, okay. So I left the door for him unlocked, you know, and stuff, and he had a submersible pump and threw a submersible pump in there, and we just pumped it out the window. $75, and but boy, oh boy, you talk about a mess down in the basement, man. I had one of those transferable warranties. Because the basement was ever dried, and it came out and it ruined my furnace, it ruined my hot water heater, and the whole nine.
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Now my dad's basement floods too.
Yeah.
And that just goes from mess. He had a waterway dug a few years back, and that solved a lot of the problem. But last year or the year before, we got a lot of rain in just a little bit of time, and it flooded him out, and just ruins all sorts of stuff. I mean, then the smell is bad.
Oh, yeah.
What
happened in my case was, like I say, I'd seen this water, so I went downstairs. Like I say, we got it all pumped out or whatever, and it just, I mean, I had some carpet under, ruined the carpet. I had to take a picture of it, you know, because, of course, I had an insurance policy on it. But then, come to find out, the insurance policy, I had a $5,000 policy on it. They paid like $3,500 all they paid. Then they kicked me off the policy.
Oh, boy.
Because I turned in a claim.
Oh, boy.
So, I had to get a new hot water heater, a new furnace, and of course those were the guy came out from, I want to say, this Mid-Ohio Plumbing and Heating. He came out and he said the way it works now is, he said, they don't want to pay for a new furnace. They want me to try to fix your old one. He said, but I can tell you right now, he said, this thing is fried, you know. And I said, okay. So he took the motherboard, he called it, and took all the, you know, took it off, and he said, I'm gonna go try to get some parts for it. So he came back with some parts, and it worked maybe 2 weeks, and then I had to call another friend of mine who owns a heating and air conditioning company, and he came out, and just by the grace of God, he had one of these smaller furnaces that he was able to use the guts of my other furnace, and he slid this right in for like one third of the cost of a new furnace.
Oh boy.
But the downfall was that this particular model I got was vented for 90% efficiency, and my house was only vented for 80% efficiency. So I could still use it, but of course my bills were going to be a little higher. He said, now the only way I could get to 90%, he had to rerun all the ductwork. He said, and then we're talking like big bucks.
Oh,
so
okay.
I just kept the same ductwork that I had, and you know, but boy, oh boy, it was just I sympathize with anybody who has a basement, man. It just, it was a nightmare, man.
Oh.
It was a nightmare, yeah. Gosh, it, just water everywhere, man.
Oh, that was...
I'm so glad not to have that anymore. You guys have a basement navy.
No, we got a crawl space.
Okay.
But we had a problem with it flooding.
Yeah.
A few years back, and the pump that runs the water. We have a well.
Okay.
We don't have city water yet. Right. Although they're, I'll get to that in a minute. But we got a well, and the little switch that runs the pump to get the water into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Shorted out.
Okay.
So we didn't have any water under there.
Oh, man.
And I'll tell you about that in a second. And it looks like we got a call from Pastor Craig. Hello, we're on the air.
Hey, Nate, how you doing? Hi, Terry.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I have a basement story for you.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
So, in 2015, I moved to a new house, and it was it's kind of built on a little bit of a sloping property in 1935. It was built, and so they had a floor drain, and all they did was run it out into the yard, and they had a little French drain, which is, if you're not familiar with a French drain, they run a pipe out underneath the grass, and they run it out, and then they just put a whole bunch of gravel in it, and that's a French drain. And so the neighbor's property sits even lower, well, sits about even a little bit lower than mine. And so every time it rained, and their yard would fill up with water, and it would back up into the drain into my basement, and I'd get about 3 or 4 inches of water in my basement. And this would happen 3 or 4 times a year. And it ruined everything in the basement. So it took me 3 years to figure it out, because I'm not the smartest knife in the drawer, or sharpest knife in the drawer. But I finally put a sump pump in.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But I went through 3 years of flooding and drying and flooding and drying and flooding and drying before I finally figured it out.
What happened with mine too is my float stuck on my sump pump.
Oh boy.
Man, you talk about a disaster. That was a disaster too, Nate. Oh my goodness. It broke some field tile out there, so I had to replace all the field tile, a new sump. I mean, it was just a nightmare.
Oh man. Pastor, that flooding, once you flood, you totally just don't forget what that experience is like, do you?
No, because, you know, when you move into a place and you put all those things down in the basement, and then it floods, and then you lose half of the stuff, and then the second time it floods, you lose, you know, the other half of the stuff, and that's when you go, all right, wait a minute, we got a problem here.
I remember the guy that when he came out to look at my furnace, he said, oh, he said, I was here the first time this basement flooded. I said, wait a minute, the first time it flooded? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, the water was up to your window right here. And I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no. He said, the catch basins out in the street overflowed. He said, there was so much rain. And he shined his flashlight, and he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, that's the same furnace I put in. And I said, what? And he goes, the first two numbers are what year I put it in of the serial number. It was 90. And this was 2018.
Oh,
or 2008, man. I mean, excuse me.
Oh.
You know. And
does Terry have the earphones on?
No.
I think he can hear you, though.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't matter really what the problem is, a plumbing problem, a heating problem or something. When you have a repairman come into your house, he goes, oh, yeah, well, the last time I was here, and then you go, then your heart just sinks, and you're like, oh,
well, and that's what happened. I said, what do you mean the last time you were here? And he goes, well, let's walk out and look at your central air, because he goes, if I'm betting, he goes, I bet that's the same central air I put in. He shines his flashlight again. The first two numbers, 90 again. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And he said, no. He said, this is the same house I was at.
Same one.
So I called. He referred me to another guy, a friend of mine who has like a jet pump and stuff. So he came over and And he met the EverDry guy there because I had to turn the claim into EverDry since I had one of those transferable warranties. Well, they said it wasn't their fault. And so there was this big hassle going on. So he was ready to fight this guy because he said, it is your fault, you know. And they're going back and forth. In the meantime, he comes upstairs and he says, hey, he says, who hooked up this plumbing down there? And I said, you know, it came with the house when I bought it. And he goes, well, come here, I got to show you something. So I walk down the basement stairs, and he's like freestyle, you know, free-handedly just pushing this plastic, like it wasn't even glued in. You got to be kidding me. And so he said, well, I think I have some pipe cement out in my van. So he had some cut pipe in there. He changed all the piping. I mean, it was a nightmare, man. It was the craziest thing, though. I mean, but nobody wanted to assume responsibility. The guy said, oh, it's not my fault. And he's like, well, what do you mean it's not your fault?
That's what happens when you buy or you rent, you move into a new place. Nobody's going to – they might know about all the past problems, but nobody's going to take responsibility for it.
He was trying to say it had something to do with my downspouts and my gutters. And my friend was there who, like I say, he was an apprentice at Amanda Plumbing for a long time. Then he went out on his own, so he knows what he's talking about. And he said, look, man, he goes, I've been doing this for 25 years. He said, I'm telling you, that has nothing to – he said, something about a trough or something that they were supposed to put so there would be some drainage for the water there. I guess they didn't do it.
Oh.
Which was causing this kind of the same thing, like this sloping and all that, you know, which caused that in the first place. And it was the craziest thing, man. I mean, it was nuts. I couldn't believe it.
That's crazy. Hey, Terry.
Yeah.
Are you working Sunday?
I am.
Okay. Well, the next time you got a Sunday off, stop by.
I sure will.
When I'm there.
Probably a couple weeks, I think. Maybe the end of January, I think I took one off, so.
All right. Hey, I got a guest coming the fourth Sunday in January.
Okay.
And that would actually be a good time. If you're off, stop by.
Okay, I sure will.
All right.
But it's amazing, though, how, like you said, nobody wants to assume responsibility for anything. Well, then the guy from EverDry was trying to say it was going to cost me X amount more for them. And I said, well, what about this warranty? Doesn't this warranty cover anything? Oh, it was the craziest thing, man. And I'll never forget. I had that happen. And then when my mom was driving my car and some lady backed into my mom and didn't want to, like, gave my mom and stuff her name, but we were having a hard time with the insurance with her, so I had like two insurance claims going on at the same time.
My goodness.
Hey, Terry, I had somebody back into me one time, and then they took off and tried to explain to the police who comes and takes the report, and the other person's left, try to explain to them that, no, I didn't rear-end them. Yeah. They backed into me.
Yeah. Well, this lady, my mom was at the Speedway station there on Bell Fountain, and she was coming out, you know, getting back in my car, and this lady just literally just backed right into my car. So my mom, who was sick at the time, I mean, you know, she had cancer, but she was doing okay, but she got the lady's name and stuff, and her insurance agent was in Richwood. So this lady said, oh, just call her, you know, she'll get it. So I call over there. Can't get a hold of this lady. Can't get a hold of. And finally, I called State Farm, who this lady is and is an agent through. And I told State Farm what happened. And the lady said, well, if you don't hear from her by Friday at 4 o'clock, you know, said, we'll just go ahead and pay off the claim. And I said, okay. So I'm sitting there waiting, you know, right by the phone. As soon as 401 hits, man, I didn't hear for her. So I called, you know, so they gave me a rental car for a week. And I. It was great, man. But I had two claims at the same time. This lady comes out, and she said, you know what? We're not even going to dispute this. She said, here's your check for blah, 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 and, you know, gave me a check, and okay. Well, then I got a check for my basement, but it wasn't nearly for what, you know, to cover everything. But I had two claims at the same time, man. I was like, man, this is unbelievable. I mean, this doesn't happen, you know, to everybody. Of course, my mom felt terrible, and I told her, I said, it's not your fault. Well, a buddy of mine who was a body man at like McDaniel's for a long time, he said, well, I think I can fix your car for you for a lot cheaper. So he calls me and says, hey, he says, I got a door for you. I had a 2000 Sunfire. He said, if you don't mind it from a 99 Cavalier, he said, they're all pretty much kind of the same, you know, same thing. And I said, okay. So he put the door on and painted it, and it's really close. But, I mean, you could still tell it was kind of off that little, just that little, but it was no problem. It was fine. But he did it for much cheaper than what... But it was just funny though. Like I said, oh my gosh, man, what? Who has this kind of luck, man? Only me.
Well, hey, Terry, yeah. Nate, I'm gonna jump off the phone here because I don't want to be like Adam the windpipe. So I'm gonna jump off the line here, and I'm gonna let other people call in.
Okay.
Hey, Pastor Craig. Hey, you can catch your show every Sunday at 11 to 12 right here on WWGH Study His Word Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
But that's just, I mean, it's just one of those things that it's like, if anyone can have bad luck, I don't know if anybody else has ever had that happen. But so then I go up and I'm explaining to my insurance guy, you know, what happened in my basement and stuff. And he says, okay. He says, well, you need to take some pictures. Oh, sorry, Nate, go ahead.
Okay, we got another one coming in. Hi, we're on the air.
Hi, this is JC. Talking about flooding in basements.
Yeah, yeah.
I live on a short street, and I live on the downhill end of it, and then the sewer turns and goes over to Silver Street, and sewer backs up to the manhole right before the turn, then it used to back up in my basement.
Oh, okay.
And backed up in the neighbor's basement. Well, I finally got a plumber in here after 15 years, you know, probably 6 backups, and where my sewer come down, it came down and turned and went down the wall and picked up 2 floor drains and then went out under the wall and went out to the sewer. Well, he brought it across, he cut it off and brought it across into that next room over to the corner and then turned it and brought it over and across the wall and above and down, and then where it went under the wall, he cut it off and put a clean out, and took it and hooked it, put a L on it, and put it and hooked it onto the sewer that went under the wall. And I haven't had a backup since.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's
yeah. And we left the floor drains in, and I put in a sump hole and put in a sump pump, and I haven't had a basement flood since.
Oh, good
deal. That's great, man. That's great. Like I said,
it only cost me $600.
$600. Wow. Okay.
That's great.
You know, those things can be... somebody's planning from 1903. Okay.
Take care. Yep, bye-bye.
But yeah, Nate, it was weird. Like I say, I already had a hole cut out for the sump pump, and I told you my sump pump, when he pulled it out, it was literally cracked.
Ooh.
Right. Mm. So when that cracked, and I assume it was all probably from the weather, like I told you. But anyway, when it cracked, it had messed with it. The field tile out there had cracked, which is that plastic, like that black corrugated plastic pipe that.
Yeah,
that like your discharge or whatever. Yeah. Well, that had actually had a crack in it.
Oh.
So I had to replace all that. And the only place that sells it in Marion, in the length that I needed was like 250 foot, is Menards.
Oh,
so I had to go out to Menards and get 250 feet of this black corrugated hose, and or pipe, whatever, you know. And but what he did was he actually discharged it out by my garage. So I filled it up with gravel and stuff, and it discharged there. Because before that, before all this, though, I got another story. This lady, my next door neighbor, came over. I just got the house, and she knocks on the door and answers the door. She goes, "Hey," she goes, "I got a question for you." I said, "Sure." She said, "Do you think you can move your discharge area for your basement?" And I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Your water's discharging into my tomato plant." So I bet she got some interesting tomatoes that year. I don't know if they got big ones or if they helped them grow. But so that was before all this. So I'm already off to a great start with the neighbors, you know. Yeah. So then this happens, and but I think the neighbors were satisfied with this whenever they seen it was discharging out by my garage instead of in their tomato plants. But I mean, if no one has ever dealt with a basement issue, man, those things are, they can be nightmares.
Oh, they sure can.
I mean, you know, mine, I was, of course, I'm a first-time homeowner. I had no idea what this was going to cost, you know. And
yeah.
I start getting these bills, and I'm like, oh my, you know. And, of course, you got to pay the furnace, man. You got to pay the hot water. Yeah. I got a new hot water heater, and the guy that come out and installed the hot water heater, he said, back in the old days, you could get a hot water heater for like $120. And he said, you know, he would install it for like, you know. So now this time I had to pay, it was like $500 for a hot water heater. It was like $200-$300 for him to, so I got like seven or eight, but he had put it up on a pallet, so in case it flooded again, it would go under that, it wouldn't actually reach the hot water heater.
Oh, okay.
So, he had to replace all the hose, because I had a pinhole in the discharge hose for the hot water heater, so that pinhole was causing this, it caused that, like, corrosion around my, you know, so I had to... Oh, it was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I had this pipe that was right in the tree, what do you call it? So I had to call someone out to clean this pipe out, and it was all these tree roots and all this stuff, you know. And I mean, he's got the thing in there, and I have a newspaper laying down there. He's got all kinds of tree roots and everything. And so I want no part of a basement anymore, man. Oh. That was the worst experience of my life that.
So. This is Nate Redmond, and he's Terry Tackett, and we're just rolling along on an extra drive time. Your drive time bonus is 5:35. This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. We are live here on this January the 5th, which is unusual during this time slot. So if you'd like to give us a call about anything under the sun, we'd be happy to take your call at 740-383-9944. If you've had a basement issue or an issue of any kind, 740-383-9944 as we roll through. It's 5:36 here in Marion, Ohio, and anytime on the Eastern Seaboard. And one time when my dad's basement flooded, there was actually, he was down there sweeping away, trying to clean it up.
Uh-huh.
Well, there turned out to be a tornado warning for the area.
Right.
So my mom says, everybody's got to go down in the basement. Well, it's terrible down there. I mean, it's just as slick as a whistle.
It's like a swamp.
Mud,
yeah.
Everything. So we're all sliding around in the basement, you know.
Right.
And she's like, "Tom, shut that sweeper off. There's a tornado coming." Well, he's not shutting it off. He keeps running. So finally he shuts it off. He says, "Well, if there's a tornado coming, I'm going out to the deck." So he heads out to the deck to watch the tornado come in
and leaves you guys in the basement.
Leaves us in the basement.
Well, then during this whole time, too, the one guy's telling me, he's like, you know, because I had some like hydrostatic cracks in my floor and stuff, because literally my house was built on a swamp.
Oh.
So they're talking to me, and they're like, "Oh, you're going to have to call this Mid-Ohio Basement Solution." So I call them. The guy comes out in 81 to dig up my foundation, $5,000.
Oh, boy.
And I said, "You know what? Never mind.
Got that kind
Never
of
mind.
Money."
So what I did was, where I work out there at Home Depot, I bought like 20 tubes of this concrete caulking.
Oh.
My brother-in-law came over on a Saturday. He just lived like a couple streets over from me. And my brother-in-law came over on Saturday. And he started at one end, and I started at the other end. And we caulked every single one of those cracks.
Oh, okay.
And these tubes of caulk, I remember, were like $2.47. I bought like $100 worth. I bought like 50 tubes. and we literally used every tube, but we filled every single crack in like a six-hour period on it. Because I only had it for a short time. Because my sister sister said he had a bunch of stuff to do at home, so we filled literally every single crack there.
Oh, wow. Well,
and so, because I told him about this Mid-Ohio Basement Solutions, and he's like, what? He said, no, we can do it for... Now, what I'm regretting was I should have painted the floor then or something, but I didn't do it. And then, but it was so funny because he came over and I told him this whole escapade about what happened, and he's just dying laughing, you know. So, and you know, like I say, the guy comes out from Everdry, and he's looking at the walls, and he says, "Oh, this is nothing, not our fault," you know. And he's goes on about this whole downspout day. And I'm basically thinking, like, what's this guy talking about? Because I already talked to a friend of mine, and he said, no. He said, it has nothing to do with that, man. He said, what this was from, he said, I'll be right back. So my friend comes back in, and he's got this long drill bit about yay long or so, I don't know, about six, 8 inches, and he drills into the concrete, and Nate, literally, this water was running like a sieve. Ooh. I mean, it just, there was so much water behind this wall that it was causing the wall to bow. So when he took this drill bit and drilled out this wall, I mean, the water just ran. And literally, you could see that wall just kind of going back to...
Kind of coming back together
a little bit? Yeah, I mean, wow. It was the crazy... And it was like that for the entire basement, but I just remember, man, it was an absolute nightmare, and I just, man, that's why I said, anyone that has basement issues, man, my heart goes out, because I know I went through heck, man, for, and you, like you said, man, it stunk down there. You're down there trying to clean it, and I'm wearing a mask at the time, and they're spraying bleach, and of course, I had to go outside, I couldn't take it, you know, because thank God my buddy came over and helped me. He was laid off at Whirlpool at the time, so he came over and helped me clean it out and everything, and we hosed it all down and hosed down the wall, and then we kind of re-dry locked you know, those areas, and then we kind of got around the sump pump area, because that's where, and then my buddy, thank God, he had a new sump pump on his van. He'd got one where somebody had bought it and didn't take it, they upgraded, so he had an extra one.
Oh,
so
okay.
He sold me that one at the cost of what those, you know, so thank God.
Yeah,
you know, so I put that, he put that on for me, and man, that thing was beautiful. But he pulled this other one out, and he goes, Terry, how long has this been here? And I said, since the house. And I mean, it was just all corroded. It still worked good, I thought. But he pulled it out, and literally, you could see just that the hairline crack just right down the middle. And
oh, man.
Yeah. So it was. And I think it was a combination of the corroded water, and, you know, because he flushed everything and sucked out all that old water and put this fresh clean water, and I mean, it ran great after that. My toilets ran great, my shower ran great, everything. And so I was just so happy that he actually had the equipment and everything right on his truck to do it, or else God knows where I'd have been. My next door neighbor came out. I mean, it was just a big mess.
I mean, one that you don't want to
repeat. And that's the thing, man. I was so gung-ho about owning a house, and man, after that, I said, you know what? I don't care if I ever own a house again. Well, because at the time, I had all this going on. My mom was sick. I'm trying to take care of her, you know, and it's just, oh, my God. Of course, I couldn't have her in there with it, you know, with it being that way or whatever. So they, at the time, part of the deal was whenever they paid the claim for the basement was I got some money to, like, to stay at a hotel for a couple of days.
Oh,
for the smell to dissipate or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I put my mom, you know, I put her, you know, in a nice area at the hotel, you know,
okay.
And I stayed, you know, and I stayed
got
the other,
in the pool.
Yeah. So I got her all situated or whatever. Then I got, had mine, you know, and I ended up going to the pool and stuff down there, but they paid a couple of days for that. And then once everything had kind of dissipated or whatever, you were okay to go back at like 48 hours, you could go back. So I went back, and then that's when, you know, we started putting the basement back together and stuff. But then I like I say, I turned into claim or whatever. Then the guy calls, he goes, well, I got bad news. And I said, what? He said, this company dropped you. I said, what? Dropped me. And he said, well, he said, they dropped you because you turned in a claim. And I thought, well, what's
the deal with that?
Yeah, I'm supposed to. I mean, I've been paying the premiums, and Well, he said, you know. And I said, well, what am I going to do? I mean, my homeowner's insurance, I have to have a policy on my basement, you know, as per my homeowner's insurance. And so I end up getting this, going with a different company. You know, I got some place out of New York. I end up going with a company, and they gave me they did a policy for $5,000.
Oh, okay.
That's all they would do.
Yeah.
So which was enough to suffice the homeowner's insurance. But, man, it was just, there was people just, and then after, on top of all that, we get everything kind of taken care of. Then this guy comes up and knocks on the door. Do you want your driveway recoated? And I thought, sir, I'm going to do all this crazy stuff. The last thing I want is my driveway recoated. You know? It was just, if it wasn't one thing, it was another, man. But that was a crazy, like, 2-week period, you know, that I had there. Like I say, once I got everything done, got the car situated, and I go out there to get the rental car, you know, and I show my paperwork and stuff, and the guy's like, oh yeah. He said, well, at least I got some bad news. So what's that? He said, your car's not here yet. Oh, great. So he said, but if you come outside here, so I came outside, he calls the guy, he goes, look right there, and you can see on 23 the guy literally coming right there to Enterprise with my rental car.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking, oh God, I'm gonna get this crappy car, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
The guy pulls in, he goes, there's your car. I said, what? It was an HHR, one of those Chevy.
Oh, yeah, I
looks
know
like
what
a milk truck, you know.
Yeah, it looks like a milk,
I'm like,
milk
oh
truck.
My. I said, that's my car? I said, yeah. He said, so I said, all right, man. So I get in there, and my mom's with me. I said, come on, Mom, let's go take a ride. You know, so I drove down to Windsor. I'm just taking my mom, like, all over. You know, we're just going everywhere, you know, and stuff. I think we drove to a few of those antique stores and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going all over the place. And I drove it to work and stuff a couple of times. And, of course, I'm talking, like, all big. You know, I was like, yeah, my new car, man. What do you think? All these people are like, wow. And they didn't see the license plate in the back. It said, like, Texas or Indiana, whatever, right. You know. So, you know, but I'm playing Mr. Big Time. I'm like, yeah, man, you know. And I pull in, and the one lady, a friend of mine, she's a realtor, Mary, and she said, man, you know, you gotta get a new car. And I said, yeah. I said, I hit one of those scratch-off tickets. And I said, I bought this with the earnings off one of those scratch-off tickets. And the other lady there, I'd already told her at her office, and she's sitting back there laughing, you know, and she knew I wasn't telling the truth. And so then she finally told that lady, and I told her what happened, and she's like, oh, man, she said, you know, you had me for a while. I said, yes, and I was playing one of those scratch-off tickets, and I said, I hit the... So, but then, like I say, I took it everywhere, though. I mean, you know, and my mom loved it, man. It was nice and roomy, and I hated after that week to give that car.
To get it up,
So I got my car back, like I say, and, you know, it was fine, but you could just tell that door was off just paint-wise, which was okay. It was, because, I mean, he charged me much, much, much less than if I'd have taken it to, like, McDaniels or Matthews or something like that. But I went and got 3 estimates, and, you know, like, they required stuff. And then the lady gets there, and she had this mobile printer right in her car. Nate, I'll never forget this. She had this mobile printer right in her car, and I'd never seen this before. She literally printed the check right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She came up to me and shook her hand, introduced herself. I can't remember her name, but she introduced herself. She walked over, looked at my car, took like 2 or 3 pictures, and said, you know what, we're not even going to dispute this. We're just going to pay the claim. She said, do you have your estimates? And I said, yep.
Wow.
I gave her 3 estimates, and she said, give me 10 minutes. I said, okay. She sat in her car, and she literally looked at all 3 estimates, made a call, and came back and went right in the middle and gave me like an estimate, you know, that was right in the middle.
Okay, and
so,
printed it out.
Yeah, I think my high one, I want to say, was like $3,200, and my low one was like $2,800, and she gave me like $2,600.
Okay,
so she
went
right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and I was, you know, but literally, I'd never seen it. She printed it right there.
Mm,
but now the weird thing
was,
I didn't get it that day. She still actually had to mail it because there was one other person that had to sign off on it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Had another signature.
Yeah, so once that person signed up, this was a Friday, I got the check on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
I got
the
check Monday, yep. And I'd never seen that before, though, as far as like one of those mobile printers and stuff right there, and she did it, and, you know, she apologized that I couldn't get a hold of the other lady, and she, you know, she said, we'll go ahead and pay it. She said, you know, it's definitely, you know, damaged, and...
Yeah.
So, huh. And then, like I say, it was like 2 days later, I got a check for the basement.
Yeah.
So here I am with like all this money, but of course, you know, I had to pay out the money for my car to get fixed, and, you know, and stuff like that, and the guy ended up doing it for $900.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Ooh, really?
So, So yeah, I got, like I said, I got a check, I think, for like 20.
Was that in the Delaware area?
No, actually, he was in Marion.
Was he in Marion?
Yeah, he's in Marion, yeah. Like I say, I got the rental car for a week, and then he fixed my car for like 900 or 1,000. It was really, really close. And, you know, I mean, by the time he bought the door and stuff and everything.
Right.
And stuff like that. I mean, which is a really good price. Because, like I say, I mean, some of the quotes I were getting was way up there. Yeah. So, and I loved the car, but I drove it. It had 235,000 miles on it when I finally.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I loved it. I bought it off my niece. It had 47,000 miles on it. I bought it off my niece.
Oh, my.
She had it. She got it in 2001, and I think I got it in 05.
Okay, okay.
And then I drove it. My I'd taken it out for, like, oil changes and stuff out here. My friend owns a shop out here, so I took it and let him do the oil changes and stuff. And finally, the last one, he meets me outside. He puts his arm around me. He says, Terry, he says, sometimes on a car, you got to know when to say when. And he said, you need to say when on this car. He said, you've gotten your mileage on it. You know, and I said, okay. So he said, now what we can do, he said, if you want, he said, we can continue, you can continue. He said, but you've gotten really everything out of this car that, you know. So I hate it. Looking back now, I regret it. I wish I'd have just put the money in it. I mean, it was a really nice car. I mean, yeah. I'd have still been driving it. Really had, like, no rust on it. I mean, it was, body was pretty sound. It was pretty good.
Wow.
It just little nickel and dime stuff. Uh-huh. You know, and the gas cap, the engine light, the check engine light kept coming on, so I had him check it, and he said he comes, I go to pick it up, because he was doing an oil change, he just went ahead and checked it, and he told me, he's like, Terry said, I got good news and bad news. So what's that? He said, I checked your check engine light. He said, we put it on the diagnostic machine, everything. He said, everything comes back, you know, no sensors. He said, everything's good, you know, and stuff. He said, what it is, though, is he said, and this happened to my mother-in-law's car. He said, she had a Buick Skylark or something like that,
uh-huh.
A Century or something. He said, those gas caps, they dry rot around there.
Oh.
And when they dry rot, he said, that air gets in. And he said, that's what happened in my case, which was triggering that.
Check in
that light, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He said my mother-in-law drove hers for 2.5 years with that light on, and he said nothing ever.
Now my check engine light's on.
Yeah.
I drive a, mine's a year 2000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's an older model, but the check engine light's on.
That's what mine.
Nothing ever.
Mine was a 2000 Sunfire is what I had. So
yeah.
I don't know, was it notorious with that year? I mean, was it?
Yeah, right.
But that's what he told me. He said I put yours up on the diagnostic machine. He said we ran a diagnostic check. You know, checked all your sensors. He said all the sensors were fine. He said, you know, he said then he said as soon as I unscrewed your gas cap, you know, he said I was just literally peeling that stuff.
Huh.
He said it had dry rotted around there, and he said he did some kind of test, he calls it. They can check your how much air is in your, like, your tank and thing. And he said there was, like, little, which was allowing air to get into.
Okay.
And the car was off, and as soon as he turned it on, that light would come on, and because he left the door open, you know, for the gas or what, to see, like, he had somebody watching to see, you know, and he thinks that that's what triggered that light.
Gotcha.
So
wow.
Yeah. So but one day my dad lived in Prospect, so I was coming home from his house one day, and at the time, and I'm driving, all of a sudden I looked down and said, man, my light's not on anymore.
Okay,
I don't
just,
know.
Did it come back on?
After that, it came back on.
Oh, okay.
But
shut off for a while?
Yeah, for like probably a month or so.
Oh, you just shut
it
off?
It just was off.
Wow. And
I don't know, you know, like I say, if it was just one of those things. Because when it went off, I'd had another oil change, so I didn't know if maybe the oil pressure had something to do with it.
Mm, okay.
But
yeah.
He said all that stuff was good. He said the diagnostics were all good on it. It's just, he just thought it was that right there.
And, wow.
But it was the weirdest thing. I remember I was on like a back road there, like say coming back from Prospect, and I looked down and I said something was weird, and I looked over. No check engine light.
No light.
I thought, wow, here we go.
It's
know?
Fixed.
Yeah. So I took it back out there to him. We were talking. And I took it back out, and he goes, you know what? He goes, that doesn't surprise me. He goes, you know, he said, like I told you. So I looked at all your diagnostics, and everything was fine. He said, you didn't have a short or anything. He said, I didn't have to put a new one in. He said, I figured that. He goes, just don't be surprised if it comes back on. I'll be darned 2 minutes after I pull out of there.
And come back on.
So, and he said, I told you, my mother-in-law drove 2.5 years, you know, and he said, nothing ever.
Yeah. You know. Sometimes those lights are just...
Right, right. Yeah. He said, I can disable it. You know, I was like, no, don't, you know, don't disable it or whatever. And
you'd rather see what, right, what yeah, happens, so. You know.
But, I mean, on that car, you know, the only downfall was I went through a lot of brakes.
Oh, did you?
On that car.
Yeah.
And I asked him, and he said, man, he goes, those cars are notorious for brakes, you know, and stuff. And I bet, Nate, I probably had him put like 4 or 5 sets of brakes mm-hmm. on that thing, man. And
I had that happen with a Chrysler 300. Man. Yeah.
That thing was rough on brake, but man, it was a nice car. I bought it off my niece, and she had a newer one. I want to say, let's see, that was a 2000. She had like an 05 or 06, because initially that was my car.
Okay.
I got it from Crestline, but then me and her did some trading.
Oh.
Because I wanted a lower. I wanted a lower payment. So she sold me her car, and she took that one. Well, she was a student at Ohio State at the time. She was going to Columbus to class on 23. She's merging onto 23. You know, there in Waldo, how you merge on a semi.
Oh, yeah.
And so she wrecked that car, of course, and they paid it off. Or she ended up getting a different. She got a little Tiburon, Hyundai Tiburon.
Okay.
But boy, she had that car maybe 3 months.
Oh man!
Like say, so she was doing that merge right there on 23, and a semi just whacked her. And,
oh, you know. Yeah.
And then she was driving the Hyundai home one night, and she called and said, "This car don't feel right." And her dad said, well, you know, said, pull over there in Waldo, and said, I'll be there to pick up. She pulled over, caught on fire, Nate.
Wow.
Right there by caught the Duke station. Fire. By the Duke station right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, oh, boy. So, like fully engulfed?
Yeah.
Fully engulfed.
Wow. So, I mean, she was already out of the car. She wasn't hurt or anything. But, yeah, caught on fire there. And my brother-in-law is a fireman, so he came there and they put it out or whatever. But, yeah, so then she ends up getting a check for that car, you know, because, of course, that car is totaled.
Sure.
She ended up going with a Kia after that. But just like, boy, oh, boy, you talk about she's had some bad luck with
cars. Yeah, we've had bad luck with different cars. We've had the
my
SUV.
Whole life I have.
Oh yeah, the SUV. The wife's driving now. Yeah. It's just bad luck.
This is obviously the nicest car I've ever had in my life. I've always had just really bad luck with cars. And,
And
the downfall with me is I'm not mechanically inclined. I don't know how to. I couldn't tell you what a fan belt or what.
I can barely check my own oil.
barely
put gas in.
Exactly. I can do that. It's about all I can do. And now, you know, thank God, I just, as far as oil change, I just go to these 10-minute places. And
Let
you don't even have to get out of the car, you know. It's worth a few more bucks just to have them, you know.
Have them do it for you.
Exactly. So now this next time I go in, I'll pay a little extra because it'll be the one where they rotate your tires and I've been talking to like 3 or 4 mechanics and they said the thing now with these cars, they said they're basically designed to last forever. You just basically get the oil changed and rotate the tires and
You good to go.
Yeah. So that's usually all the maintenance you have to do. So I'm like, all right, I can do that. But my last car, I told you that Sunfire, man, I had new plugs and plug wires, and I just, like I say, I didn't know any of that stuff, so I just told him, I told him what I wanted done to, and he wrote it all down and just did it all for me, and he just gave me the bill, and because I didn't know what I was, you know. I mean, sometimes I go in and be like, oh, man, is this going to be $200, or sometimes I'd be like, man, is this going to be $150, you know, and I didn't know what to expect. But one thing I liked about him is that he was honest, you know, if you didn't need something, he'd tell you, you know, hey, you don't need this, but next time you come in, you might need.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's
good. So I was appreciative of that, but I mean, there was times, like I say, I mean, where I was looking, I thought it was going to be $200. It might only be like $130, you know. And I was like, oh, well, that's not bad, you know.
Right.
So it was easier for me to pay the $130 and just go on my way. Even try to argue. I didn't even argue. Here's their $100 money.
Exactly.
Go on my way, you know.
Oh, that's awful when you get hit with a big one.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, and then a couple of times, you know, I had that, and what I did was I gave him like 2/3 of the money then, and, you know, and of course, it was right close time to get paid, so I'd just run him out the rest, you know.
He kind of made payment.
Yeah, he was always nice enough to let me take the car, you know, because time, man, I mean, like, I needed a timing belt and stuff. It was like $600. I gave him like $450, and
let you take the rest later.
Then the next, I was, like I say, I was within a couple of days of getting paid, so I just ran out the other $150 when I got paid.
Oh,
I might even give him like an extra 20 or something, you know, for him letting me we take the car, you know. And but I was just, you know, I was just so grateful that he let me, you know. And he's real good about it, you know. And he got it done in a pretty timely manner as far as getting it done, you know. I mean, I was always real appreciative of it, you know, of getting it done. And he always communicated real good with you. He'd call you and let you know. Like I say, he'd pretty much tell you over the phone. But then when you get there, sometimes you'd have a big surprise, or sometimes it'd be like, you know, it wasn't what you thought it was. You know, it was something less, and you're like,
whew. Yeah.
But sometimes you get out there, it's like,
oh man, it just hits you, and your heart just drops.
Because you never, you walk in, you're like,
Lord, please let it not be, not be that.
I mean, I know there was a bunch of times I walked in, I was like, 150, you know, and you get there, and sometimes, like I say, it's like 130, sometimes it might be 220, and of course, I didn't really argue, he just showed me the invoice, and I did this, and I just...
I always tell him, hey, if it's going to be above 500, call me first.
Brace me, let me brace myself,
I got to look up the extra finances.
Right, yeah, so...
Cars are something
they
else.
They are, man. They are. Sometimes they can be money pits. Man.
Oh, they sure can. They can
just like houses.
Houses and cars. They can. They can just run.
Well, they always
drive.
Say that's like your two biggest purchases in your life are a house and a car.
Yeah,
so.
That's what you need. Yeah. You got something to live in and something to drive.
That's right. And you can't live in something if you don't work the drive.
That's right. You got to do that.
Right.
Well, hey, we're down to 1 minute. It's been good talking to you.
Thanks, Nate. Yeah,
and Terry Tackett and Nate Redmond here on an extra show today on this Wednesday afternoon. And thank you so much for listening. Lots of great programming straight ahead here on your favorite radio station. Of course, they can stream it anytime at our website, which, what's our website, Terry?
www.wwgh1071.com.
All right. And do you have an email address they can email you, Terry?
You know what? I'll give you my personal one. I don't have one for the station, but you can send me one if you want. TerryTackett48@gmail.com.
TerryTackett48@gmail.com.
I don't have it linked up to the studio yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I got a personal one, too. It's RadioNateOSU@gmail.com. Send us anything.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you.
Sure, sure.
Absolutely anything. So.
Yeah. I'd love to hear, you know, some people from the community if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. TerryTackett48@gmail.com.
Yeah.
All right, thanks so much for listening. A lot of great programming straight ahead. This is WWGH Marion, Ohio. We'll talk to you later. See you, Terry.
Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking